Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 70 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast.
In this episode, I talked to J.C. Reed, the barbecue columnist from the Houston Chronicle. We talk about barbecue joints, of course, everywhere from Texas to California and everywhere in between, and a really deep dive into some specific barbecue joints in Houston because he is the Houston guy. So I wanted to make sure that we covered everything and that I got a lot of more insight into barbecue joints that I wasn't aware of. So I think you'll really, really enjoy it. We talk about this podcast, this Barbecue State of Mind podcast. We talk about just so much.
If you're liking these, please subscribe. That way you can get all the back episodes. I have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. I also have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. But enjoy this. Good afternoon.
Hey, man, what's going on?
Nothing. I'm just, I'm not in the hurricane zone. How are you? What's going on with the hurricane coming?
Man, if you've lived in Houston as long as I have, it's old hat. I mean, you see it coming in. I don't want to downplay it. I never downplay it because I've been through a few. But, you know, I don't go out and buy, like, you know, 20 cases of water or anything. I got, you know, everything I need here. I got, you know, food in the pantry and everything. So, knock on wood. You know, we'll all survive, and hopefully everything turns out good.
You're in Beaumont, right?
No, right now I'm in the Woodlands, which is just north of Houston.
Oh, okay.
That's where I live day to day. My family is in Beaumont.
Okay.
And, yeah, so we're a little bit further inland, so hopefully we'll dodge some of the wind and rain.
So you don't have to where you are. You don't have to, like, put wood on the windows and do all that stuff. Because I used to know some people that lived in Houston, and every so often for the big hurricanes coming through, they actually boarded up their windows, which I thought was so odd. I've never had to do that.
Yeah, if you're on the coast, if you're literally on the beach, it is definitely a good idea to board up, and, you know, go by the 4x8 plywood, board up the windows. And then there are the people who live by the idea that if you tape your windows with, like, masking tape and big X's.
Oh, I've seen that.
It doesn't prevent your window from breaking. It's just if it breaks, it doesn't mean it shatters into a million pieces. But
exactly.
Where I am, hopefully no wind, but, you know, looks like we may get a little bit of rain. But that's par for the course in this neighborhood.
I see. We'll be safe regardless. I'm glad you're squeezing me in before the rain comes in.
Yeah, no worries.
So your background is architecture. Did you but quickly before that, did you grow up in Texas? You're a Texas native, right?
Yeah, I grew up in Beaumont.
Okay.
Went to elementary school, junior high school, high school. Born in 68, you know, spent the first 18 years of my life in Beaumont. Okay. Got a taste of the kind of crazy, weird Southeast Texas barbecue there. Never really, certainly, 18 years old, you're not writing about barbecue, but, you know, you're trying things and you're kind of setting the stage for what's coming in the future. And so I kind of got a taste for that.
What were the big places when you were growing up there?
The big places were Patillo's Barbecue, which is still there.
Yeah, still there.
It's the oldest black-owned barbecue joint in Texas. And it's the Patillo family. They go back to the 1800s. You know, they came over from Louisiana. And they are well known for their beef links, which they make on site. I mean, they grind up the brisket. I think they're using brisket now. Sometimes they use brisket. Sometimes they use shoulder. And they grind it up and then stuff it into a beef casing and add all kinds of – lots and lots of fresh garlic, which makes it really interesting. And I think they do a 70-30 mix of meat and fat.
Okay.
So you get lots and lots of juice.
That's very juicy.
Oh, man. You kind of, you stick your fork into them and it just kind of spurts out. You got to watch how you get, put on, like, safety goggles or something.
You got to be careful what you're wearing or just keep your arms away from. No, I've had sausage grease on too many times.
Yeah, you can always tell, like, the rookies at the barbecue joints who are wearing white shirts. You know that's. it was Patillo's, which is still there, Broussard's, which is still there. Okay. Mr. Broussard's been doing it since the 1970s, and Gerard's, the son now owns Gerard's. Wow. And they all make their sausage in-house. Gerard's is well known for pork bones, which is the pork neck.
Huh.
Which is it's a specialty kind of a dish of Southeast Texas.
Oh, very cool.
They just throw it on the smoker, And well, they season it up really good, like with a dry rub. They throw it on the smoker, and then they pile it on a plate, drizzle on some barbecue sauce, and you just kind of sit there and you pick at it.
Do they call it pork bones, or do they call it pork neck?
No, call it pork bones.
Oh, wow. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, you just go to these places and, you know, say pork bones, you know, plate for $5, and you can just sit there and eat on those.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Yeah, I know.
Right now. Damn it.
Yeah, it freaks people out, but it's like, no, it's just, you know, whatever. You know,
yeah, there's weirder things to eat than that.
This is true. Yeah, so that was MoMA, yeah.
So now did you, one second, let me make sure this phone, sorry about that. So then did you, yeah, no, it's like the phone doesn't ring at all until now it's one second. Let me just
turn ringing off.
So then did you go to college in Texas and then graduate school at USC, or did you?
No, went straight to USC for undergrad.
Okay.
So what year was that? 1986. You know, just piled up the Mazda 66 with everything I own. You know, the little Macintosh computer and some sheets and pillows and, you know, some clothes and some useless cooking tools. And my sister came with me, and we drove from Beaumont to Los Angeles. We stopped in Van Horn, Texas, and then Phoenix. So we made it like a 3-day trip, and we just drove into Los Angeles.
And you got there, what, 2 years after the Olympics, so it was still kind of everything was exciting. And
USC, campus still had like all the little, you know, kind of decorations and things. It was kind of this pastel motif and all these little, you know, decorations everywhere. So yeah, the Olympics were kind of still there.
Yeah, just, I remember going down to the Coliseum as a kid, and I wasn't that. I'm not that much younger than you.
Yeah, I think you know, the apartments where I stayed the first year, I think, were, you know, just like you know, athlete housing, you know, that they had built for the athletes. So,
so did you eat any barbecue in Los Angeles, or did you fall in love with any type of cuisine, like Los Angeles style cuisine?
Trying to think what did I do? I never ate like traditional barbecue. It just was not, I don't recall there being anything in the neighborhood. I would go to, of course, Tommy's Hamburgers.
Uh-huh. On Rampart, like a
tradition.
Probably.
Yeah, that was like a tradition. And then, there was a place on Vermont near the university campus called La Barca, which was like just a CalMex place. Mm-hmm. And then my favorite place, which is not really barbecue, but it's kind of barbecue. It's called Mongolian Barbecue. There was this place on Hollywood and Western.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it even had a sign. It's right across the street from where the subway station mm-hmm. is now.
Yeah,
in
yeah.
Western. I think it's a Thai restaurant now. And it was just this Mongolian barbecue place before there were chains.
Uh-huh.
It was just this little old Chinese lady, and they had this big giant pot in the window of the restaurant. You walk right past it. And we used to go there and eat, I mean, for like dirt cheap, uh-huh. just eat well. And then on the other side of Western, I don't think the building's there now. There was a place called Hollywood Billiards. And that was just that was the place to be uh-huh. when you're like 19 years old and you're straight out of, you know, a small town in Texas, man. You're hanging out.
No, that I don't think it's not there anymore. But I used to go there too.
Really? You went uh-huh. down to the basement?
Uh huh.
Oh man, that was my home, man. I love that place. And so the Mongolian barbecue place was, you know, right down the street. So me and friends would go and shoot pool and eat some Mongolian barbecue. And that was kind of my, you know, my Friday night.
That doesn't sound like a bad day.
You know what? For a guy from Beaumont, you know, 19, 20 years old, that was pretty out there, man.
So then did you end up living in California after that, or did you move back to Texas after school?
I went to school from 86 to 91, graduated in 91, and then stayed about a year after that.
Okay.
Worked for an architect in Los Angeles, worked in Westwood.
Okay.
So again, trying to think where I ate around there. It was Fat Burger was my burger place. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's still like the place to go or not.
It's still good. There's a bunch of, obviously it's a chain and there's a bunch of them, but it's still quality. It's still the, I think there's that one on Santa Monica that every so often I stop at in Wilshire, I think.
No, good to know. Yeah, but a long time.
Yeah, yeah. That's it, people. And, it gets overshadowed by In-N-Out, of course.
Yeah, I know. Right? And there was like a Sizzler, so of course the Sizzler. Hamburger Hamlet was like my favorite place to go.
Growing up, I loved Hamburger Hamlet. I still every so often there's one left over in the in Sherman Oaks that I still go to sometimes.
That's right. That's what I heard. But the one, there's one on Hollywood Boulevard, I believe. And there was one in Westwood, and I used to go to the one in Westwood and have the breakfast and sit at the bar, and I'd always see like some celebrity or some actor or something, And it was just kind of a cool thing for, 20-year-old kid from Texas. So
you still come out to L.A. every so often, right?
I try to get there about once a year.
Okay.
Follow the barbecue scene there. I know, most of the guys there. Neil Strotter, Big Misses, is from Galveston, so I know him from Galveston. Mm-hmm. And when I get out there, I usually go see him and some of the other guys. And I was out there last summer.
And I think that because of you, I stopped at Ray's, and that was I want to thank you. And Ray, every so often, I said, "Yeah, I'm going to be talking to JC." And he's like, "Tell him hello."
Ray is one of the he's one of the guys who he joined the cult. I mean, he's like. He believes in Texas barbecue,
oh, yeah.
He believes in the culture and the traditions, and he loves coming to Texas. He came to the Houston Barbecue Festival last April.
That.
He literally just loaded his whole family up and brought him over here. I was so appreciative of that. And he's just a fun guy to talk to, and he loves everything about barbecue.
Yeah, and the best thing that I like about him is that he's there every day, and he greets you, and his family's there, his wife's there, his kid works the register. It just feels very kind of like a little slice of Texas in Los Angeles.
Exactly, and it's in this kind of weird neighborhood, which is kind of – it seems a little blue-collar, a little industrial, but it's also kind of artsy. You got some weird artsy places. It's just kind of a cool little area, and it's kind of the perfect area, I think, for a barbecue place.
Yeah, and it kind of made me a little bit mad that you found it before me. That kind of, to be honest, like I'm like, damn, man. Like
I'm trying to remember. I think Robert Lerma. I think I saw it.
I think you're right.
Yeah, Robert Lerma comes out to Los Angeles every now and then. He was just there, so I think I saw it on his Instagram, so I had to go check it out.
Oh, that's cool. That's very cool. So then, so fast forward to back in Texas. Did you move back to Beaumont?
No. After a stint doing, I got a architect's license in New York. So immediately, basically threw that in the trash and came back to Houston and started an internet company.
That makes sense.
Makes perfect sense. Yes. That was back when you had to explain what the internet was. So. Still got the architecture license. It's still there. So if I ever want to become an architect again.
Oh, so you haven't practiced at all since then?
No. Wow. Yeah, just graduated, worked for a year in Los Angeles, went to New York, worked for 2 years as an intern to get my internship in, and then took the test out there.
Okay.
Got the license, and then immediately moved back to Houston to start an internet company, and that was 95.
And at that time, were you traveling around for – but I'm trying to think of – when did barbecue start really becoming the thing, the internet thing or the social media and the whole – was it
–
what was that? Was that like 2000 or was that like
– You know, I call the 1990s the lost decade of Texas barbecue, as you know. Mm-hmm. It was kind of the Bill Miller barbecue and then Houston Damaris barbecue. Mm-hmm. That was, it was kind of that modern day technology thing where it's like, oh, a gas smoker, that's cool. This is going to be awesome. It's going to fix all our problems. It's modern convenience.
Of course.
And, it was like, it was like TV dinners. It's after you think about it, you're going, oh, this is probably not a good idea. And that was same thing for, gassers. And so the 90s were kind of a lost decade. And really, it was only about mid-2000s that started to see these guys who were, they just decided, I'm going to do it the old way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened in Houston was about the mid-2000s.
And was but what was it Austin first that kind of I guess that got more of the spotlight I guess at the beginning it was.
Yeah, I mean you could go back to let me think. I mean Snows was one of the first.
Were you going to Snows from the beginning?
No, okay. No, I was. I saw it in the 2008 Texas Monthly Top 50. Okay. That's when I saw it. I think that was the year they were named the number one, 2008.
I think you're right.
Yeah. And so before that, in Houston, there wasn't a whole lot. There were some of the old black barbecue joints in Houston. There was Burns was still around. Williams was still around. Those were the places that you went for good barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When did you start your blog?
That was 2008.
2008.
About 2007, 2008. And it was a food blog because that was what all the cool kids were doing at the time.
Yeah,
and so I was writing about pizza and Tex-Mex and all that stuff. And then occasionally, you know, I wrote about some barbecue in Beaumont. And then the 2008 Texas Monthly came out and I literally just saw it on somebody's, you know, table, coffee table. And I was like, this is interesting. And at the time, I had just started writing for the Houston Press. And so I decided, you know what, we're going to do a one-day top five, you know, Texas barbecue run. And that was, you know, back then, now it's normal. And that's like, you know, everybody does it now. But I think back then it was a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the first things I did for the Houston Press. And still, you can go to the Houston Press website and bring it up.
I'll put a link to it because that's really cool.
Yeah.
I'm sure I saw it. I'm sure I did.
It's actually a great read. Yeah. I got a little map and everything.
That sounds fancy.
Yeah. So that was about, yeah, that was 2008, 2009.
And were you, it was also a travel blog because I think that it was food and travel, right? Because you do go overseas, you go to Europe, right?
Yeah, do a little bit of travel more travel blogging lately. But the time it was mainly, just kind of Houston Press at the time, they just started a food blog. And a guy named Keith Plotcheck, who now lives in Los Angeles, he's now a professor at USC in the Annenberg School of Communication. He was the editor at the Houston Press, really cool dude. And he hired me based on one of my this really snarky piece I wrote about a McRib. Before it was cool. It's like now when the McRib, you know, when they do the McRib seasonally or whatever, everybody writes something, you know, snarky.
Yeah, of course.
So I was, you know, I was a little bit ahead of the time.
That's nice.
So Keith read that and he hired me to the Houston Press and started writing about everything. And barbecue just kind of popped up every now and then.
And then formally, do you write primarily now about barbecue, or do you kind of okay? So you, and yeah, are you considered the barbecue editor for?
It's a barbecue columnist.
Columnist, okay, that's what I knew. It was a little bit different than Daniel's title.
Yeah, magazines and newspapers are a little bit different on the titles. So you know, guys who write or people who write, you know, kind of regular pieces, just kind of think pieces and opinions and stuff. They call them columnists, and. So that came about 2013 or so.
Okay.
I'd been writing for the Chronicle just generally about food, you know, since about 2009. And this kind of happened naturally.
So do you focus primarily on Houston, on the Houston area, which is I guess the greater Houston area, but you do of course go on runs outside of Houston. Good.
I like to think that my angle is that I cover Texas barbecue everywhere.
Okay.
So one of the things that I tell people and the people kind of scratch their head about is, and we've talked about this, is Smoke City Market in Los Angeles was actually a big deal. It was kind of a historic thing because mm-hmm. – I think they opened 2010 or something.
I think it's just around then. Yeah, I was trying to think. Yeah. My dad, I kind of gauge it on. I think my dad died in 2009, and that was kind of when I started to go. I never got a chance to take him there, and that was something that I kept thinking
about. You'd moved back to Los Angeles. Probably.
I had just moved back. Yeah.
Right. So I was just I was trolling around. You know, I read all the the restaurant reviewers online. So I was poking around. It was at the time it was LA Weekly. Jonathan Gold
exactly
wrote this, you know, review about this Texas barbecue joint in, you know, in Los Angeles. And I read it and I was like, this sounds weird because, I mean, there are barbecue joints all over the country. And usually they say Texas barbecue, but it's not really Texas barbecue. And from what I read from Jonathan Gold's review, is like these guys really got it.
Yes.
It's like really transplanted, you know, Texas barbecue, hook, line, and sinker from Texas to Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's really interesting. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, and by the pound, and it meets by the pound, butcher paper, the whole thing, yeah.
The whole tradition, no utensils, no sauce, by the pound. You know, they joined the cult, you know. And I thought that was really, really interesting. And from that point on, I kind of started to seek out this kind of diaspora of Texas barbecue all over the world, not just in the U.S. too.
Yeah, I think that's the same thing for me. Is it? I became interested to see who else is trying to do it. You started to see it in New York, and you started to see it in other places, and you're like, okay, something is happening. It's a phenomenon that was happening.
And that was, yeah, it was fascinating. And Smoke City Market was the first in the U.S. that I know of, where the guys, and you knew the owners much better than I did, but I think the guy was married to a girl who was from Seguin or something.
Yes.
And so he knew it.
Yeah. And they actually traveled to Texas and did research, which people do now all the time. That's something.
Yeah.
But no one was really doing. People would maybe travel to Austin for South by Southwest or something, but they weren't traveling for research for their restaurant to take back with them.
Yeah, and these guys were way ahead of that.
Yeah.
And so I found that really fascinating. So from that point on, I kind of searched out these little kind of hot areas where these Texas barbecue joints would pop up. And, you know, Big Mista, Neil Strouder had also been doing it in Los Angeles too. Bledsoe's, Kevin Bledsoe had been doing more of an East Texas style.
Exactly.
Barbecue joint. This was the first time, and Neil was doing kind of an East Texas style. And the first time that it was like a Central Texas, you know, the by the pound, the no sauce, the no utensils, the butcher paper. I thought it was just really fascinating.
And it was interesting too, working there, managing that restaurant. It was interesting to see how the public, it was interesting to see a lot of things I don't want to talk about, but there's a lot of, it was interesting to see how the public reacted to it because it was so foreign to people. People didn't understand that at all. And people actually took offense to the fact that there were no plates, that there were no utensils. And there we actually had utensils, but it wasn't something, but there was a little brushback, and it was odd. And selling out when in Los Angeles, and I'm sure this is across the country, when you sell out, that's a big deal. Like people would drive a half an hour, 45 minutes just to get across town, and then they'd be so mad that there'd be no brisket left. And in Texas, that's normal. That's
how even it is. In Texas, though, it's still.
Oh, I know. People still get mad.
Yeah, I mean, even the new utensils thing, as you know, it's still debated to this day. People still get PO'd about that. So I can only imagine what it was like. That was in the Valley, right? Uh-huh.
In a pretty nice neighborhood, in a place where people were used to getting, you know, the new restaurant of the month, and people coming in, they would have, it was definitely a challenge to at least explain everything to people.
I thought it was really cool. I liked the place a lot. I liked the guys. I talked to them on the phone, and I thought it was cool. So you know, rest in peace, Smoke City Market. You guys, that was it was kind of a groundbreaking restaurant.
That's interesting. I didn't think of it that way until you say it. But it's I drive by every so often, and the sign's still out there, Smoke City Market. It's shuttered, and I think they're trying to put in. It's a really bad location parking wise. So no restaurant has jumped in. It's been closed for 2 or 3 years now.
Oh wow! Lots of places have kind of jumped into the void in Los Angeles. There's still, I think LA's still kind of getting its, you know, its sea legs as far as barbecue goes, but it's getting there.
Yeah, it's getting there, and it's starting. I'm sure you're seeing online too these little pop ups, these little underground people doing things
in their backyard.
Ray started with ribs in his backyard, and then he got shut down, and then
He had like a little tiny smoker back there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you were at Smorgasburg, LA this weekend?
Yeah, that was definitely interesting. Yeah, there's Moo's Craft Barbecue, there's Republic. Yeah, there's a lot of people trying to, you know, to jump in and and do something with offset smokers. And there's fat stack smokers. There's these guys that are actually getting in the gas tanks and making smokers. So it's something's happening. It feels good.
Slowly, yeah. The more, the better. The more, the better. So,
let's talk a little bit about Houston Barbecue. I want to talk about the Houston Barbecue Festival. When did that start for you? That was 3 years ago, or
that was 6 years ago.
Wow, it's been 6 years.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's going to be the sixth one coming up in 2018, and that was the year after the Texas Monthly Barbecue Festival, the first one, which I think you were in Austin for that, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Did we meet each other then? You came to John's, right?
We met at John Miller. We came with the barbecue guys, Texas barbecue guys.
Oh, and you come with them? Okay.
Yeah, we came by with those guys to John Miller. So the first year of Texas Monthly, I think the tickets were like $18 or something. And so me and Michael Fulmer, my partner in crime here for the festival here in Houston, we were there. And we knew a lot of the guys who were there, and so we were just talking to them. And at the time in Houston had kind of developed this bad reputation for festivals. There were these kind of sketchy promoters who set up these beer festivals, and they didn't know what they were doing, and it was disorganized, and there were lines, and this was when Twitter was getting big, and people would tweet out and say, "Houston sucks, you guys suck." And so Fulmer and I just kind of looked at each other and said, "Look, if we don't do it, there's going to be some idiots going to do it, and it's going to make Houston look bad, and it's going to make Houston barbecue look bad. So we need to do it, even though we don't know what the hell we're doing." We thought, of course, we figured we could do it better than anybody else.
Of course.
Any entrepreneur thinks. But we ended up actually doing it pretty good. And the first year we had 13 barbecue joints, and we had about 1,200 people, and worked out great. We learned a lot of things along the way, but we're going on our sixth year, so we must be doing something right.
Yeah, definitely. So how many will? Because I thought it's coming out. It's September 24th, right? Or am I thinking? Is that?
That's the Throwdown.
Okay.
Yeah, so those are our fall events. So we have these smaller events, about 500 people, about 14 barbecue joints. Okay. And so what we found when we did the festival is the first year we did it like similar to Texas Monthly, where Texas Monthly had this People's Choice where people went and like voted on things. We had a People's Choice at the first festival, and the barbecue joint said we're not interested in doing that. We just want to come and have a good time.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
People are going to tweet out what they want to tweet out. We don't want to have any competitions,
okay.
No pressure. And then a couple of them said, I'd kind of like to do a competition. So we ended up doing what's called a Throwdown.
Okay.
So we have 14 barbecue joints come in. They do a dish. We have judges, and they pick the champion. And it's just a way of kind of pushing barbecue a little bit past the traditional stuff like brisket and spare ribs and things like that.
Okay, so will they have their normal offerings, or is it solely special things for this Throwdown?
Yeah, the goal, the mission of the Throwdown is to create the new canonical dish of Texas barbecue.
Oh, okay.
No pressure at all.
that's easy to do.
Yeah. Well, at some time in the past, hey. What is this, brisket?
Hey, let's try. That's true.
And see what happens. That happened sometime in the past. So, we talked to them. They said, "Well, you know what? We go to work every day, and as was your experience at Smoke City Market, people were like, I want utensils. I want Josh." And they were like, we feel really hemmed in because we can't do anything out of the ordinary because people will get on Yelp and trash us.
Of course.
So we said, "Well, you know what? We're going to give you a venue for kind of being creative." And they were unbelievably creative, these pitmasters.
I was going to say, a lot of them are very chef driven. They're very the chef minded, and they're creative people. Yeah.
Some are chefs.
Yeah, that's true.
First,
that's true.
And pitmasters second.
Yeah.
And so that was the mission, was like get these guys out of their comfort zone, give them a venue to spread their wings and try some new things. And the first year, the winner was a guy named Trent Brooks, who did a smoked oxtail, which was a kind of a throwback to Houston barbecue, because back in the 50s, oxtails were big. And then all of a sudden, fancy restaurants started cooking oxtails, and they got expensive, and you know the story after that. So they made a comeback. And now they have them on the menu at a couple of places in Houston. So they made a comeback.
And that's really cool. There's still tickets for the event?
Still tickets. Okay. You can go to houbbq.com, and there's a big link there.
And I'll put a link in the show notes for sure, because I think that would be awesome. I'm very jealous of whoever gets to go to that.
It's a great event. Everybody loves it. It's kind of small scale. It's inside, outside. Okay. You don't have to worry about the weather. It's air conditioned. And it's like 3 hours. Everybody gets in, gets out, has fun. Beers included. It's at St. Arnold Brewing Company.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great deal. You pay one price, you get in, you eat all you want, you drink beer, and everybody's happy. And then you go home and sleep on the couch.
Yeah, go ahead, take a nap or go to bed or do whatever you need to do.
I'll definitely do that. Yeah.
Thank you for putting that on. That's awesome. Let's talk about Houston barbecue and the top 50. Because this year there's what, 7 barbecue joints?
Yeah, 6 or 7. Out of town, people debate whether like Pearland is Houston, and it is. Spring is Houston. If you ask these guys who are kind of in the suburbs, you know, are you Houston or are you the Woodlands? They're going to say, oh, I'm a Houston barbecue joint. So, yeah, I think it was 7, and which equaled the number of places from Austin, which freaked a lot of people out. And
that's great.
Yeah. And man, I had some input in the list, not in Houston, but I did some other regions.
Okay.
Many thanks to Daniel Vaughn and Pat Sharp for their trust in me. And Jimmy Ho, who's a barbecue blogger,
he came out recently, and we hung out for a
little bit. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I saw that. He's a cool dude, very awesome guy, and he did the Houston area, and I think he did a really good job. And I think Daniel and Pat did a great job in the top 10, and you know the rest of the list too. So can't complain. 2 places from actually up north, kind of where I am, Corkscrew and Tejas were in the top 10.
Can you talk about both of those? I'm very curious. I haven't been to either. To be honest, I haven't been to Houston. That's my next. I want to start off in Houston. Wow. Per Jimmy's suggestion, I'm going to start off in Houston the next time I come, and then make my way up.
You have to. Yeah. You got to come, but leave plenty of time for Houston. People don't understand how big it is. They kind of equate it to Austin, where you know you can go from style switch to Franklin to Micklethwaite to a barbecue all in like, you know, half an hour. That's not the way it is in Houston. So we have lots of time. But the top 2 on the list were up north. Tejas is in a little town called Tomball, or a suburb of Houston, let's call it. And Corkscrew is in Spring, which is just off 45 north of Houston. And Corkscrew is, it's a mom and pop, literally. And, you know, he worked for AT&T as a lineman.
Okay.
She was a stay-at-home mom. And he just started barbecuing in his backyard. And, you know the story. People started saying, hey, that's pretty good. I'll start selling it. And that's what he did. And
how long have they been in business as a brick and mortar?
Brick and mortar, it's been probably 1 or 2 years.
So that's it's been impressive.
Until they did a trailer, yeah. They did everything out of a trailer. And, I mean, they killed it. And the thing is, their barbecue just keeps getting better. It's crazy. You know, it was great, you know, years ago when they first started in the trailer. Holy moly. You know, Will and Nicole Buckman.
Mm-hmm.
Will just, every time I go there, it's better. And that their focus and passion to make the best barbecue is so impressive. And all of their accolades are so deserved.
Oh, that's so great.
It's really good.
I want to go there tomorrow. Damn it.
No, whenever you want to come, man. Don't come in the next couple of days, though.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll wait out. It's this fall. I'm coming this fall, but not this week. Not this week.
Out of hurricane season. Don't come during hurricane season.
Okay. So Corkscrew, that's so impressive. That's so interesting. And then Tejas, they started out with just chocolate, right? That was a...
Yeah, they were making chocolate out of their garage.
Okay.
And they decided they couldn't make money off of chocolate, so they better start selling something that they could sell. And barbecue was the obvious thing. And they bought a little house right in the middle of kind of this little antique area of Tomball.
Okay.
They renovated it and put in a big barrel smoker and started selling barbecue, and they had little things. The chocolate's fantastic, but the barbecue was impressive. Mm. And Scott and Greg Moore mm-hmm. are the owners and the pit masters. And Greg was he's in the restaurant industry, so he knows how to run a restaurant and cook, you know, side dishes and things like that.
Ah, so that's so crazy. So that's an interesting, you don't hear about a chocolate. And it's Tejas Chocolate Craftery, is that the?
I think that's the official name now, but I think they're changing it to Tejas Chocolate and Barbecue, which I've been pushing to do. Yeah, just a little more clear.
That makes a little more sense.
Because yeah, the barbecue is really good, man. You know, you gotta promote it.
So we have Gatlin's, yeah. Pinkerton's. Those are all in the Houston area, correct? As well as what, the Pit Room.
Yeah, those are inside the. They're in kind of the main area of Houston.
Okay.
Pinkerton's, the Pit Room, they're inside the loop, as we say. Gatlin's just a little bit kind of outside, but it's still kind of in the metro, Houston metro area.
Is there anything special that people should know about Gatlin's or Pinkerton's or the Pit Room?
You know, Gatlin's was on the previous year's list or mm-hmm. the previous list from 4 years ago. Greg Gatlin holds kind of a special place in Houston barbecue going back to when we were talking about the 2000s. Mm-hmm. He was one of the first guys to start up on his own, kind of the old school techniques, kind of the Aaron Franklin style. I'm going to just figure it out by feel and smell and touch. Mm-hmm. And Greg Gatlin was probably, I would say, the first guy to do that in Houston.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah. So he's, you know, he started out again in this tiny little hut in what is now like one of the most expensive neighborhoods in Houston. he's grown to this really super nice restaurant in a little shopping center in what's called kind of the Greater Heights of Houston, and just killing it.
Long lines for his place?
You know what? No, he's open for lunch and dinner. He doesn't sell out.
Okay.
He's one of the guys who, you know, whatever his magic he does, he figured out how to make barbecue all day long.
Good for him.
And you know, a couple other places. The Brisket House is another place in Houston that does that. I always want to give them a shout out, because I know, you know, guys like Greg Gatlin and Wayne Caramel of the Brisket House, they work extra hard to make sure that they have great barbecue all day long. So I always want to give them a shout out. The Pit Room too. Pit Room is also open for dinner, and you know, actually, you know, Pinkerton is too. So everybody's kind of getting on that bandwagon.
Okay, that's smart, and it's nice to serve the public. It's something that not all restaurants can do, and some people don't want to because they get there really early and they close by 3 or 4, and that's their day.
That's
they start it over. I know what it's like to start that over and over and over again. It's hard.
It is, and you know, you don't have a life. I mean, you know, if you have a family, and it's really attractive to be able to come in at maybe 4 a.m. and be done by 2 p.m. and then go pick up your kids and go home and eat dinner and go to sleep. And I think for certain pitmasters, that is very attractive.
Okay. Yeah. No, I agree. And you want it. That balance is so hard in life in general, and for what you're doing and the hard work you're doing, you should be able to at least see your family for a few hours, you know.
Yeah, I know how hard those guys work, and you do too.
Yeah,
more than anybody.
So is Truth considered? Is that considered in Houston, or is that? Is it now? That is not right, but they're moving. They're opening a second location. Is that what it is? Okay, that's what.
That's correct. Okay. Yeah, so they're opening a second location in Houston at a place in, again, a neighborhood called the Heights, which is now a very like highly gentrified neighborhood. It's in a building that was originally a car repair shop. Uh-huh. And then 4 or 5 years ago, a rich guy bought it and decided he wanted to own a barbecue joint. And he created this really upscale barbecue joint called Phil's Barbecue. But unfortunately, the barbecue was not very good. But it looked great, and they had a nice bar, and it just looked like a cool barbecue joint, but it lasted about a year.
Okay.
And then it turned into like a college bar or something, like where college kids went and watched football games and things like that. And that's cool. And then that closed. It was actually a place called Jay Black's, which I think started in Austin. But that closed and Truth took that over. And they're in the process of turning that into a destination style barbecue joint in the middle of Houston.
And when will that, when do they open that up?
I think it's in the fall this time.
Oh, that's great. Oh.
Yeah.
And so you had said that people say that Pearland is not necessarily in the Houston area, but can you tell me a little bit, because these are all places that weren't around when I was there in Texas. So Killens is, can you tell me a little about that?
Oh yeah.
And what Ronnie's doing. You know,
Ronnie is just a super talented chef and cook. Mm-hmm. I am always stunned at the food that he puts out, and he owned a really well-known steakhouse in Pearland, just a tiny little steakhouse that was just spectacular. And it was, you know, Pearland's basically just kind of a cow town. But, you know, there's some money down there, and people, you know, he kind of tapped into that, and, you know, he had this incredible wine list, and he sold like the best beef, and he still does.
Is it the same steakhouse? He has a steakhouse now, but is it the same location?
He moved to a different building. It's a bigger steakhouse now, but it's still in Pearland.
Okay.
And he turned the original steakhouse into a burger joint. But before all that happened, he bought the old Pearland School District cafeteria in the middle of Pearland. Okay. And he redid the whole thing. I think it's just very well done. And he was doing pop-ups before that. This was 3 or 4 years ago. And, you know, you could see the progression where, you know, he was like, okay, I've got a small smoker, I'm using premium product, I'm trying different things. I was there for one of the first pop-ups. He invited me. And it was, you know, pretty good, not world class. And then just watching that progression of a trained chef who has an incredible palate, who can just, you know, transform that barbecue from pretty good to world class, was just it was a phenomenal thing to see. And even to this day, you know, the stuff he puts out is fantastic. I was actually at one of his restaurants with Daniel Vaughn last night.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Daniel, wow.
Yeah.
Were you getting a sandwich? Did seems like Daniel's just having photos of sandwiches. I feel like there's something like between the buns type something. Yeah. Somebody's writing something. I'm trying to figure it out.
Yeah. He's doing like burgers, smoked burgers, rib sandwiches and stuff. So anyway, so Ronnie, he's just, Houston is very fortunate to have him because he is not just a world-class pitmaster, but a world-class chef, and he just brings so much to the barbecue scene here.
Oh, well, I have to go. And do you think he could have been, would you say that he should have been top 10? Or?
You know,
it
was a tough call. There's just so much competition. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think even he admitted, and I think when they were doing the reviews for the top 50 and the top 10, he had just transitioned from lunch to lunch and dinner. And I think he was still kind of getting his feet, you know, under himself there. And so I just think it was really close. I still think, you know, his position in the top 50 is undeniable. And I think, you know, could have easily been in the top 10, but I think it was just kind of weird timing there.
Yeah, and that happens. And it's definitely a place to go to. And like, it doesn't hurt him. He's no, people who know how good he is, they just go.
Lines are still long. People are still happy.
That's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
So tell me a little bit about the Barbecue State of Mind podcast.
Yeah, so, you know, working for the Houston Chronicle, there are benefits, of course, as you may imagine. There are benefits and drawbacks to working for big companies. The Chronicle has been super spectacular to me. I mean, I just send in columns and they print them. I mean, nobody's ever told me what to write. They don't do any heavy editing. All my editors and the people I work with at the Chronicle were fantastic. And so I just called up my editor one day and I said, you guys know what a podcast is? And this was only like a couple of months ago. It sounds like, you know, ancient times. But a couple of months ago, I just called her and she said, well, yeah, we have a couple of podcasts here at the Chronicle. Why don't you come in and we'll talk to the podcast guy. And so the podcast guy was was pretty skeptical because I think you've seen a lot of bad podcasts.
Yeah.
So we were like, well, we're going to do a barbecue podcast. He's like, okay, well, we'll try. And we just all sat around and said, look, let's just tomorrow, we're going to come back tomorrow and we're going to do it. We'll see what happens.
You have to. That's how you do it.
That's how you do it. You can't plan it. You can't, like, that's just pointless. Yeah. And so there are, you know, there's actually a dedicated podcast studio at the Chronicle.
That is awesome.
And nobody knew about it. They're like, I've never been in this place. I mean, it's like really high tech. It's unbelievable.
Well, that's perfect for you.
So the benefit there is I just drive in and we all sit down around a little tiny round table with microphones and we talk. Me, Greg Morago, who's the food editor, and Allison Cook, who's the restaurant critic. They are so much fun to work with. And our editor, Jody Schmall, who kind of oversees, she's like the executive producer for, like, you know, movie types. If you're a movie type, she'd be the executive producer. She sits around and watches and tells people to do. And then Scott Kingsley, who's the multimedia guy, and he actually sits there and, you know, points at us when we're, like, not talking loud enough or something and gives us all the time. So it's a cool team. And great resources. The Chronicle was super, you know, we didn't ask, you know, we were like, you know, we're going to, you know, ask for forgiveness, not permission on this podcast thing. So we just started doing it. We didn't ask permission. We just started doing it. And then they sent a copy to the big boss, Nancy Barnes, and she wrote back and said, hey, this is pretty cool. You guys keep doing it. So
yeah, I really like it. You've had, what, 13 episodes so far? Or 12?
It's going on about 13 or 14. Yeah. We just did one this morning. I just got back from doing one. We went on site.
Oh, really?
Old barbecue guy, Mr. Felix Powell, who's been doing it for like 60 years. And again, it's like, I pitch these ideas to them and they don't even blink. I mean, we're going to go to like one of the oldest neighborhoods in Houston and this old decrepit barbecue joint with these old brick pits. And they're like, okay, good.
That's awesome. The Wayne one was fantastic. The two-part Wayne Miller one was.
Yeah, Wayne's a.
Man, you could just kind of let him talk and he'll.
We could have done.
He has a lot to say. He's just a sharp guy.
No, that was a story unto itself. We could have talked for many more hours.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. But I'll promote the heck every time if you tweet something. I really love the
cool.
It's great and it's informative and there's a lot of and you know a lot, so it's nice to you'll get the right stories and you'll be able to search out the correct people. So it's
yeah, man.
Is there anything else that you'd like to talk about or promote or something that I might have missed? Because
No, man, it's just great talking to you. I mean, we met a long time ago and it was cool and loved meeting you in Austin and seeing your passion and about barbecue, and you've kept it up and you've asked me for a few pieces in the past, which I've happily.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And so, yeah, man, just keep up the good work, and anything you need from me, let me know. And when you come to Houston, I'm going to drive you all up and down Houston. So just let me know.
I expect it and I look so forward to it. Definitely.
Yeah. Give me a couple of weeks notice and we'll make it happen.
For sure. Well, enjoy the rest of your day. Stay safe. I hope the rest of the Houston stays safe and we'll talk soon.
All right. Well, enjoy all the beautiful sunshine there in Los Angeles.
You know, it's so sad. It's like, I'm such a grouch. Like, I hate it. It's like, well, I meet people and I'm like, you come here for the weather, don't you? I'm like, I want like Portland weather all the time. There's something wrong. I also don't like palm trees, but don't tell anybody.
All right, that's a secret.
Yeah, okay. Take care. Thank you so much. And it was recording, so we're all good.
Cool, man. All right, Kevin.
All right, talk to you soon. Thanks. Have a good day. All right, appreciate it.